Brad Hayes, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Union College, PhD in Government and Politics from the University of Maryland. Area of expertise, American political development, constitutional politics, American institutions, and a guy who we treasure here because he speaks so well and so brilliantly. Let's talk a little bit about my home state of Massachusetts, Brown versus Warren. I'm a little concerned about my state because, you know, I think there may be a misogynist sort of element to it in which women don't get to the highest offices in Massachusetts. What do you think about that?
Well, I can't comment specifically as to that, but I can tell you in some ways about the volatility that we're seeing in the polling. We've seen over the last couple of months switching in terms of who's leading. Brown was up last month by about 5 points, and then a new poll came out this month, and it shows Elizabeth Warren up by about 5 points.
And a poll, let's face it, commissioned by a progressive group.
Yeah, and both polls have problems. So it's also very early for polling in a Senate race. They're not terribly reliable this far out, but it does suggest that viability to Warren's candidacy. Just the fact that she's close, and Senator Brown is very popular in Massachusetts. This is not an unpopular sitting politician, and so that suggests that she may well be viable. And you know, there's no doubt that Elizabeth Warren can raise money. In the last quarter of 2011, she outraised Scott Brown by about $2 million. I think she raised about $5.7 million. He raised about $3.2 million.
Some of it from California, I may add.
Absolutely. I mean, she has national appeal. Yeah. And that's certainly going to matter in terms of the way that she can raise money against an incumbent. Now, Scott Brown still has more money in his coffers. In fact, quite a bit more. I think about double. So his war chest is large, and he's going to be able to employ that. But it's also interesting that what we've seen in that race is the agreement between the two of those to try to limit the influence of third parties, in other words, like things like super PACs from running advertisements. They've agreed that third parties, if they run ads either supporting one candidate or attacking the other by name, that they'll end up paying half of that cost to a charity or giving, half of that cost to a charity. And so they've essentially tried to suppress the influence of super PACs, and that's a really interesting development. And early on, at least, I mean, we're a ways from the election. It seems to have had some effect. So it'll be interesting to track that out. But it will make for, I think, a different race than some of the races that we've seen in this last election, where there was so much outside spending.
I am, of course, fascinated by the fact that my state of Massachusetts does seem every once in a while, despite its blueness, to embrace Mitt Romney, lots of governors, Senator Brown, even though it's as blue as it gets.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, well, and I mean, I think what you see are, you know, it is a home for moderate Republicans, because when you look at those individuals, they were quite moderate when they were running for office and while they're in office. And so if you are, in fact, a moderate Republican, you can appeal particularly to the western part of the state where there are a good number of Republicans, and you can stay viable, in kind of the moderate parts of the eastern state and have a chance of pulling out a victory in Massachusetts. So, you know, Massachusetts does have a tradition of electing Republicans, so long as essentially they're moderate Republicans.
Interesting. I wanted to ask you about something that our Kirsten Gillibrand said in New York. We've interviewed her here many times. She said that she would be first online to endorse Hillary in 2016. Now, I know something about our governor, and I know that he's a man of great volatility, Andrew Cuomo, and I know that there's an expectation that he will be running for president in 2016. So without getting into too much trouble, I would have loved to be a fly on the wall when he heard that, because he's not unknown, including with me, to pick up a telephone and let you have it. And so I'm just fascinated by the idea that it might be Hillary versus Cuomo.
Yeah, it would be interesting. There's something that's perhaps even more interesting, and that's the notion that Gillibrand might consider a run in 2016. There are some kind of back channel rumblings.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, about that. In fact, the Washington Post they did a Sweet 16 bracket for 2016 of who might run for president, and they have Gillibrand as one of their final eight candidates to run in 2016. Now, that's kind of conjecture. It's kind of fun, but there are some serious notions that she would be a viable candidate. And Cuomo is also on that list with a handful of others.
Is the former first lady on the list?
She is on the list, although it was interesting. This is kind of silly, but they seated her quite low, in part because she seems sincere. Hillary Clinton has said multiple times that she is not interested in running, and she does, at least now, seem sincere in that notion, that she's kind of looking forward to leaving the State Department and just having some time for herself or her private endeavors.
I don't want to interrupt you, but you do know that if she stays as Secretary of State, then she can't run for president. You can't run from an existing position like that. Whereas if you clear the decks and say, I don't want to run, then you leave yourself open to be able to politic.
Yeah, no, absolutely. She might have a change of mind, and she may in fact be talking strategically right now. But at the same time, I in some ways I kind of believe her when she says that she's not interested in running in 2016. And there's a pretty deep pull for Democrats if you're looking at 2016. We've mentioned Cuomo, we've mentioned Gillibrand, but there are other people like Mark Warner from Virginia, Martin O'Malley from Maryland, that have been very successful and are pretty savvy political operatives. So, it also may be that you assess what the pool is going to look like when you decide to throw your hat in the ring or not. We've certainly seen that with the GOP race this past election, and some key actors decided not to throw their hat in the ring, in part because they were looking ahead to 2016. So, sometimes you want to assess what's going on with the pool and make your decision based on that.
Brad Hayes, what's about the New Yorkers? In the old days, Franklin Roosevelt, all these guys, you were automatically potential presidential candidate. Andrew Cuomo, of course, is making those kinds of noises now, but New Yorkers haven't been doing too well.
No, they haven't. But, maybe this is, maybe our ship is on the rise here in New York. If, in fact, you can talk about two potential candidates for the 2016 election, being Cuomo and being Gillibrand, perhaps New York is on the rise. But that being said, it is perceived as a kind of northeastern liberal state. Democrats coming out of here have a tendency to be quite liberal. And what we've seen is that you need to be able to appeal to a handful of southern states in order to take the presidency as a Democrat. Northeastern liberals have a more difficult time doing that.
Brad Hayes is a brilliant political scientist, the scholar in residence here at WAMC, and we very much appreciate your being with us, Brad. It's always a pleasure.
The pleasure is mine, Alan.